It's another Friday and another edition of the Zogby Report, Real and Unscripted. I'm here again, as I always am on Fridays, with my son, Jeremy, partner and son. And you know the drill if you've been listening or watching. We take an issue and talk about it, and always in a civil, respectful way. How are you doing today, Jer?
I'm great. I'm doing very well. How about you?
I'm doing very well. And as always, you have no idea what I'm coming up with, right?
No, I know that we have a poll, and that's about it.
And that would make sense. I just decided a couple of minutes ago, the let's talk about part of the poll. And so let me introduce it and then share some numbers. So everyone, you should know that we did a fairly extensive poll, mainly about the U.S. and the Middle East, the Israeli-Palestinian crisis that is unfolding right now as we speak. But we did this in conjunction with the Arab American Institute and my brother Jeremy's uncle, Jim. And so he will reveal the Middle East-related results on Monday, and we're certainly not going to steal his thunder. But we asked a few questions about the president and the job approval rating, and you know, a couple of other things. And I found these to be very, very interesting. And so let's talk about it. So first of all, the poll was done yesterday. That would be May 20th. It was 1,011. Likely voters nationwide. And so it carries with it a margin of error of plus or minus 3 for each of the results that you are about to hear. And so the first and always, I think, the most important question that you ask about a sitting president of the United States is the job approval. And as of May 20th, Joe Biden, who was elected in November or thereabouts with 51% of the vote, in our poll has an approval rating of 59%, up 8 points over the figure by which he was elected. 40% disapprove. Always watch that 40% that barely wavers. That's the anything that is pro-Trump or anti-Biden is always going to hover around that 40%. So 59% job approval rating, which is a very good number, and a number that we have not seen in years. Donald Trump never reached that. Best of my knowledge, even after the capture of Osama bin Laden, I'm not entirely sure that Barack Obama reached 59%. And then, of course, George W. Bush was in the situation where he had very, very high numbers after 9/11, but those dissipated, and he left the presidency somewhere in the high 20s and low 30s. So when we look at the 59% approval rating, what does it tell us? Biden has 96% approval among Democrats. That's extremely significant, because he was elected with about 95% of the Democratic vote. And there is an awful lot of talk about the split between moderate establishment Democrats and the left wing base, progressive Bernie Sanders base of the party. At the moment, anyway, Biden seems to be keeping that broad Democratic coalition together, 96%. Biden also is getting a majority of independents, very significant, because that's what gives him then a majority of the solid majority approval that he gets overall. 55% approve of Biden's handling of his job. This is a very significant number. It's among Republicans. Now, needless to say, 76% of Republicans disapprove of Biden's handling of the job. But the flip is important. 24% of Republicans approve of his job. Remember, Biden only got 4% of the Republican vote in 2020. So he's up with a 24% approval rating. As I go across the board, I see a president in good shape right now, today, as we speak. Very liberal, progressive voters, 92%. Liberals, 94%. Moderate voters, 67%. And then I think staggeringly, 28% of conservatives and 29% of those who identify as very conservative approve of the president's handling of his job. He gets a majority of all age cohorts, the highest being among those under 50 years of age, and particularly on the younger side. But he gets 53% of those middle-aged, 50 to 64, and he gets 54% of voters over 65, even gets 50% support among whites, to go along with 64% of Hispanics who approve of him and 91% of blacks who approve of his job. Now, we had another question, but I'm going to save that. Let's talk about this right now. Would you disagree with my conclusion that the president is doing okay with public opinion as we speak?
If I were president, I would throw a party to celebrate. Mm-hmm. I would get everyone in the White House, get everyone on the list, whoever that is from the different agencies, from the team, and I would convene a party, and it would go late into the night. But at the same time, I would plan for an emergency meeting, because plan for an emergency meeting the next day, because there's one data point that I think is really telling. But I mean, 60% approval rating is amazing, right? That is when do we ever get super majority? It's not a super majority, but it is an overwhelming majority, right? So do you want to talk or do you want me to elaborate on that?
You've piqued my curiosity on that one data point to worry about.
Yeah, well, I think everyone would agree with me that this jumps out, especially depending on how you read it. So one of the questions we asked was whether voters, and this has been asked right since the election, but whether the voters think that Joe Biden was fairly elected to the presidency in 2020, or you know, was he fairly elected, or is he not the legitimate president? And so, you know, matching with that approval is 60% who say that he is the legitimate president, but 27% say he's not. Now, 27%, a little over a quarter, is, you know, maybe not so alarming, but where it becomes alarming is you always have to focus on the not sure. And depending on the nature of the question, the not sure can be troubling. And so in this situation, the not sure are 13%. Essentially, what that can be translated into is 13% are hesitant to say, or are unsure to say, whether he's the legitimately elected president. So you combine, if you're going to combine the not sure, you're not going to put them with the fairly elected camp, right? You're going to put them with the not legitimate camp, and then you've got 40%. So we have a 60-40 divide on the rank and file level of our political landscape. And so that's why I say party tonight, because 60% is an incredible, incredible number to have. But think about the next day, and what are we going to do, and how are we going to do it in a peaceful way centered around healing, not with antagonism, not with target, you know, these people. Who are they? Are they dangerous? They're fomenting civil strife. This requires the most sophisticated ways of coming to the table and reconciling and healing.
I'm not disagreeing with you in any way, but when we consider the 27% overall that say he was not elected fairly, he's not legitimate, and the 13% who say not sure. Couple of caveats here. One is we never even started to ask the question of presidential elections and legitimacy until 2000. And I recall that in the interim period, you know, the election was a tie, of course, in 2000. And it was back then that we asked for Reuters right before Thanksgiving, you know, if Gore becomes president, is he the legitimate president of the United States? And 67% of those who voted for Bush said he is not the legitimate, he would not be the legitimate president of the United States. And so using that as a benchmark, here we have 55% of Republicans who say that he's not, that Biden is not legitimately elected, and another 20% of Republicans who say not sure. Among independents, 23% of independents say he's not legitimate, 17% say not sure. No Democrats, only 2% of Democrats say Biden is not legitimate, and zero say that they are not sure. So bottom line here is that the sense of the illegitimacy of the president, presidential election, is coming mainly, almost exclusively, from Republicans and to some degree from independents. But Biden has 94% of Democrats who say that he was elected. And so that's some solid footing. Let's also say that he does have 24% again of Republicans who say he's legitimate and 60% of independents who say he's legitimate. That's enough to maintain a solid base. But you're right. He's got to be looking over his shoulder.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, thank you for the context of going back to 2000. But, you know, another way to look at it is, 2021 is not 2000. You know, 2000 was, these were the beginnings of tumultuous times, but we were still coming out of that 90s high. And I think the general zeitgeist of the decade of the 90s was that the American dream was still within reach. My kids, my generation, by and large, the next generation, are going to achieve the American dream as I had, as my parents and grandparents had. But I think coming into the new millennium, there's been greater intensification. There's been more division. There's been perhaps moving towards reaching a boiling point. And so, yes, we've been divided for 20 years, but how long can we be divided? And there's just a greater intensification overall of that division. So on the one hand, while we can say that the Democrats are solidly mobilized behind Joe Biden, such that 94% say he's legitimate, let's just basically say 100%, right? Still, the other side, to quote, you know, Lincoln, a house divided cannot stand. Now, that does not mean we should start, you know, duking it out. What that means is let's not get to that point, because you can't go on election after election cycle with nearly, you know, just under half, 4 out of 10, feeling this way. And my sense is, had Donald Trump won, it would be the same thing. It's problematic no matter which way you spin it. And so that's on the rank and file level. I had just come across this morning in, you know, scanning the news, and I don't know if this still holds true. I would imagine it does, but I had never heard of this. There are 120 retired generals who wrote a letter. I think it was back in January, maybe it was back in December, but basically mirroring what the public are telling us, their concern over the legitimacy. So that means from the Pentagon all the way down to the rank and file, the entire political landscape and everything in between is divided over this issue. And that's why I say party tonight, because it was a great accomplishment, but get to work tomorrow on how to fix this and not exacerbate it.
So the good news for Joe Biden is that he has navigated these turbulent waters now going into 4.5 months or 4 months of his presidency, actually exactly 4 months of his presidency today. What are some of the things that could go wrong? You know, following the American presidency for as long as I have, there are laws of gravity. And, you know, as soon as you hit a number like 59, 60%, it's going to go down. Something will happen. There are time-sensitive issues that happen. There are intractable solutions, problems that are intractable in terms of finding solutions, not the least of which we're going to talk about next week, is our poll on the on this situation in the Middle East. But what are some of the things that could unravel the Biden presidency? What do you think?
Well, you know, last week, I believe it was last week, I said that I had this hunch, I had this intuition that COVID-19 and the handling of it, or depending on which way you sit on the side of the coin, handling or mishandling of it, could start to unravel. I don't know necessarily the president, but the leadership overall. And so I fielded questions centered around Dr. Anthony Fauci, because he's been under heat. You know, I think most people are aware of the exchange between he and Rand Paul. Now, you know, whatever. I mean, that's you could see that as a Republican-Democrat divide. You could see that as grandstanding, whatever. The fact of the matter is they were going at it, and it was pretty intense. There's more than that. So I wanted to see if I could capture what's going on the ground. So you start out with a baseline, as you always do with a poll, to warm the respondents up. And how much do you trust the leadership and directives of Dr. Anthony Fauci? Just like the numbers on the Biden breakdown, you've got 60%, 61% combining very much in trust and somewhat trust. Who say, yeah, we trust his leadership and his directives, but there's still a 32% who distrust, somewhat distrust and very distrust. So 32% who don't trust the leadership and directives under Fauci. So you put the personality aside, and you go for, you know, what is the zeitgeist of this distrust. And so one of the other things that came out over the last week during the U.S. Senate hearing was, and I don't know who the gentleman was, but they questioned Dr. Walensky, head of the CDC, and Dr. Fauci, head of NIH, about how many employees within those organizations are vaccinated and with the COVID-19 vaccine. And Dr. Fauci said, quote, a little over half to 60%. He didn't have the exact figure, but he was estimating basically about half of the NIH employees have received the COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Walensky followed up with about the same numbers. And so I wanted to see, what does the public think about? And so statement A was basically, this is, you know, I don't want to read it word for word. Well, I will. The fact that nearly half of NIH and CDC employees have decided not to get the COVID-19 vaccine is infuriating and sends a message that even the experts have concern about the COVID-19 vaccine. Statement B, the fact that nearly half of those employees decided not to get it does not change my opinion about the COVID-19 vaccine, and I give them the benefit of the doubt. Here's where we see that still divided landscape, where 38% agree with the former, that it's infuriating, and it signals a concern from the experts themselves, versus a plurality of 46 who say, I'm not concerned about it. It doesn't change my viewpoint. I give them the benefit of the doubt. So there's some stark division over there.
You know, it's funny. I have a different impression.
Well, let me just roll through it, and then I'll give the mic back to you. And so then we go further. And, you know, I've been hearing this term a lot, agency capture, the phenomenon that, you know, and this is throughout history, this isn't just something now, that a federal regulatory agency could be compromised or captured by the respective big business in that sector. In this case, you know, the example would be the FDA and all of those, you know, businesses that fall within that realm, namely pharmaceutical. And so the statement, do you think it's real? Do you think it's a real thing going on now and a serious threat to our democracy versus I think it's overblown? Here's where a plurality of people, 48%, say it's a real threat now and it is a threat to our democracy versus 37% who say that it's overblown. So back to your initial question with what could go wrong with those laws of physics, if this trend roots itself in the social fabric, this is where I think we could start to see, at least for a time being, the unraveling of, in general, the leadership in Washington, D.C., but also Joe Biden.
All right, fair enough. Different point of view coming up. First of all, when I see numbers like 37% that will not get vaccinated, 37% who think it's overblown. That all revolves around that 40% or thereabouts who are Trump supporters and who are down with any Democrat who's up kind of philosophy. I mean, I think that's a part of it. I think there's some legitimate distrust out there, but I think there's also ideological distrust. Secondly, in all honesty, reading polls for as long as I have, 37% does not compare with 61%. It's not a trend. Those numbers have been fairly static since the beginning. I don't see the numbers of those who think that this is overblown or who will not be getting vaccinated. I haven't seen those growing. And so basically they are still in a minority. And then finally, you know, what I would say is in terms of the issue of NIH and CDC workers, aside from the public opinion view of it, think about what would happen if those in the science community had been vaccinated among the first. You'd have a situation like the Cuomo brothers, you know, where both of them are saying, hey, family first. And Andrew Cuomo was governor saying, hey, my family goes to the front of the line. And Chris Cuomo said, oh, I've helped my brother because family comes first and then my job. And so you have a situation where if those in the research community, had they been vaccinated first, they probably would have been viewed as a privileged few and maybe lost some credibility. Excuse me.
That, you know, that could be true, but we're 4 months into Operation Warp Speed, and we're at a point right now where mass vaccination centers in some states around the country have closed because the demand has dropped. So if the demand is dropping, it's dropping among the public, which signals the leadership, all right, now it's your turn to get in line. But thus far, you know, being in May, actually almost 6 months into Operation Warp Speed, half of these organizations still haven't gotten it. That may have been true back in February and March when people were lining up, but we've now gotten to the point where the access has been available to even college students. So the fact that they've held off this long could be interpreted as problematic, but it's not just Republicans, because when you look at the party breakdown on the first question of, you know, this is infuriating. This is, I give them the benefit of the doubt. 28% of Democrats said thought it was infuriating, and it sent the wrong signal. And then on the follow-up question of agency capture, it was actually half of Democrats who say this is a real and serious threat. So we can't view this in terms of Trump versus Biden, Democrat versus Republican. It goes back to my intuition that I think we could be at a point, this doesn't mean it's going to happen. This could turn around because there are so many things that can happen, but it looks to be the narrative of the leadership of COVID-19 being handled well could be turning because people are getting frustrated. And that frustration has been with the Trump camp for a while, but now we're seeing it cross over to the liberal and the Democratic camp. And so the question remains, how much longer before this starts to affect Biden's 60% approval rating?
Generally, it takes some kind of major mishandling of a situation or a crisis beyond anybody's control, like an economic or financial crisis. But as we stand right now, the president has a 59% overall approval rating, which is good in anybody's book. So to end this, to close it out before I give you the final word, you have these numbers today. We will be sending to you, everyone, on Monday or Tuesday, the detailed results of the Israeli-Palestinian crisis and America's role in that. So please be looking for that. And as always, please share this podcast with whomever you can and write us in as you do and let us know what you're thinking. Signing off from me, Jer, final word.
Final word is just listen to the podcast, request the data. We have the data that we can share right now with the questions we discussed. We can't share that right now with the Middle East data, but it's coming shortly. But if you want to see the data, please request it or take down notes old-fashioned style and please share it. Please get the word out and please support this podcast because, as I keep saying, I don't know any other program that does anything like this. The closest thing I once said was Sanford and Son, and that's kind of true. The other closest thing is, you probably remember this, what was it, Point Counterpoint in the 70s?
Oh yeah, but that was a pretty foul show on 60 Minutes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, well, yeah, we combine the two and then that you get the Zogby Report real and unscripted.
Yes. Dan Aykroyd would say to Jane Curtin, "Jane, you ignorant slut." No, we don't do that here.
No.
Hey, I love you.
I love you too.
I'll talk to you in a little bit. Take care.
Bye.